Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number one. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. Ross Tucker will be joining us shortly with our very special guest, Brandon Short. So you want to make sure to stick around for that. But first, Andrew P., it's time to talk the news. And we had Coach Franklin, a couple of the players meeting with the media. Quite a bit to take from it. Let's start with James Franklin. What was your biggest takeaway from his meeting with the press?
So it's two things, and it goes back to his previous Zoom session that he had with the media. And that was that he's always been really good at sort of answering a little bit of a question and then using coach speak and bobbing and weaving a little bit. He's much more sort of open and revealing and sort of speaking his mind, I guess you could say, and you know, not kind of, you know, coating it with a couple layers of coach speak paint. What I found most interesting to answer your question is he's not done in the transfer portal shopping. And I kind of was getting an inkling about this, and now I'm convinced more than ever. And he also said that he expects a couple more waves of players to hit the transfer portal. So that also tells me that he's been paying closer attention to it because he's been, you know, sort of shopping in there. He thinks after spring practice and possibly another wave might come before fall camps and before the season starts. But I'm now convinced more than ever, and he talked about it, that all positions and blah, blah, blah. And that was a little coach speak. But I think a quarterback is at the top of his shopping list now, Jim. I really do. I mean, three scholarship quarterbacks in the room, two of them with absolutely none or, you know, a few garbage time snaps. They're young. They have no experience beyond Sean Clifford. And in a time that would have been, you know, not too long ago, that would have been like, it's a little bit sticky, but we've recruited good guys. But today, three quarterbacks, two of them with no experience, nothing behind your starter. That's problematic. And I really honestly believe he's looking for a quarterback that has some experience that sort of fell out of favor or lost his job or isn't happy or whatever. And he's looking to say, come in here and bring that experience to me. And there's a good chance we might need it or use it.
I agree. At the quarterback position, at least Roberson has been in the system a couple years. You got to feel he's matured physically. Hopefully he would be ready to fill in. But my concern is then the next guy, you know, Christian Vaiu, he doesn't even know his way around campus yet. God forbid not just Sean Clifford, but Roberson had an issue, and that's where you had to lean in quarterback. The question comes, you know, what kind of quarterback is available? And what are you looking for? Are you shopping in the gourmet aisle when you go out quarterback shopping in the transfer?
Yeah, I don't think he's shopping in the gourmet aisle. I really don't. I think he's, you know, shopping in the sort of the, you know, meat and potatoes aisle. We're looking for somebody that has some seat time, not necessarily quote unquote as a long-term starter, but as a somebody who's played and has a little, you know, game experience to bring that to us. I also think it's interesting that when you bring up Roberson real quick, you know, he's sort of just been there developing and, you know, he sort of pushed some guys down on the depth chart over time and they've transferred out, right? Two guys that one was in his class, one was in the class after him. Both of them saw that they weren't getting past him based on where it was at that moment, and they weren't patient enough to try and fight for their fight, so they did the flight thing, and they transferred. That says a little bit about him to me that, you know, if he was it, I'm not sure it would necessarily be ideal, but I don't think it would be like an absolute utter disaster. So that intrigues me, but I definitely think he's still shopping for somebody with some game experience.
And we found out a year ago when we thought the running back depth was gee, how right. are they going to find, you know, carries for all these guys? And it didn't take long till we were working with the third, fourth team players. So now, you know, at quarterback, like I said, the concern may not be Roberson. It may be beyond him. So, Andy, speaking of running backs, we did get a bit of an update on Noah Cain.
Yeah, there, James talked a lot about running backs. It's sort of become a highlight position at Penn State, you know, with Saquon Barkley and Miles Sanders and the four running backs, you know, the or in 2019 and the success of the young of Noah Cain as a first-year player. And the emergence of Journey Brown and then the retirement of Journey Brown and the injuries. It's just a hot-button position, and James talked about it. The update on Noah is he's getting some reps in practicing. Good, right? There's no live contact. Yeah, duh. You know, duh. Even if he was 100% good to go, I wouldn't be having him in live contact just out of sheer, you know, fragility. I just wouldn't want him in there. But here's what when he talked about Noah, I'm like, good. He's a little bit ahead of schedule, according to James, and he's doing exactly what they thought they would do, which is getting some reps. Here's the deal for me. I think you have to temper, I just feel like you have to temper the expectations for him just a little bit. I mean, going into the 2020 campaign, the expectations for him and Journey Brown were through the roof, as they should have been, right? The combo of Journey and Noah, healthy, whole, complete, and then you lost one, then you lost the other. But think about it. He ran for 443 yards and 8 touchdowns in a crowded backfield in 2019, which is a lot better than those numbers tell you. But he missed the last 4 games to injury. He missed all but one series in 2020. He's got ankle injuries. So running back and ankles, man, you and I both know that makes us go like, ah, yeah. It's just that injury for running backs is ankles. You just hate to hear it. So I think, I'm not saying that I don't think Noah Cain's capable or that he's not talented. No. But I'm saying you should temper your expectations for him because it's been so long since he's been in that saddle. And he's been injured twice since then and has had very, very limited ability to practice or play.
Staying with the running backs, we also had Devin Ford on a Zoom call. I'm interested to hear your reaction to that event.
Yeah, so I watched it. I will tell you, I was first of all interested that they put him out. And I was like, this is interesting. Good for them. I found him very engaging. And I'll tell you why. And I found him interesting. He's a third-year player, right? So it's time, right? He came in high recruit, 5-star, top 40, number one player in state, blah, 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 blah. One of the best at his position, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't mean squat when you step between the lines, either at Lash to practice or whether you step on there on a Saturday at Beaver Stadium. Some of the things he talked about his diet and taking care of his body and overall being, you know, a better version of himself. And he talked about being better on and off the field. We know he's had some issues off the field. His running back coach talked about, you know, school and academics and all of that side of the house for him, you know, last month when he talked about the running backs. And now he's talking about it. So what I took away from it was that he came here as a, you know, pretty full of himself, immature, not ready to grind and work. And now what he's figured out is nothing is given to him. Like, his opportunity was there last year. He got a flash at it, and simply his talent alone, that simply isn't good enough at this level. And I think he figured that out. That was what I grabbed from it, was, okay, so I have talent, but that only gets me so far, and it doesn't get me anywhere near where I want to be or I need to be for this team. And I think he's figured that out, that he is matriculating from an immature talent to a more mature person. Does that produce on the field? That's still up to him. Good gracious, have mercy. The talent is there. So I think he's trying to become the person that is a little more of realized talent as opposed to wasted or unrealized talent. That's the transition I saw from him, and I found it fascinating and interesting. But and James talked about the running backs. He wasn't shy talking about his running backs either.
First off, I'm like you. I'm impressed that they put him out there.
Correct.
That, to me, was probably news more newsworthy than anything that was actually said, that the fact that they put him out there was fascinating to me, especially after there was some critical assessments to his game. And as I've mentioned, in the spring, you're not used to hearing any criticism of anybody. So that was kind of interesting. And I know a lot of Penn Staters are concerned about the running back room. You have, what is it, 5 talented players there. And the thought is, we may not have all 5 of them come the fall, that someone may decide to take their talents elsewhere. And I believe there's been a lot of concerns that that might be Devin Ford. It's either, I think we're either going to see him leave, or we're going to see a more dedicated version of Devin Ford coming in. Andy, I want to shift gears quite a bit here to a name that keeps cropping up among the early entries this year, and that's Kalen King, who, along with his brother Kobe King, the linebacker, Kalen is the cornerback. It seems like his name keeps coming up over and over again, and that they're very impressed with him.
Yeah, James said he's the most impressive true freshman / first year player. Let's just use that term in this sea of who knows what year of eligibility they're in. Let's call him a first year player. That in his tenure at Penn State, he's the most advanced that he's seen. Yeah, okay, that's cool, but he's still a first year player, and it's still just spring practice. Plus, the thing for me is, it's a crowded house at his position, right? You've got Tariq Castro-Fields, Joey Porter Jr., Keaton Ellis, Wilson's there. All guys that have played and have experience. You have a transfer who played at South Carolina. Johnny Dixon transferred in, so you have a full house. It's cool and everything, and it's good to hear, but, man, that's a crowded house, and it's hard to stand out and earn playing time at that level.
Which is all the more impressive that he is standing out when he is in a very crowded room. That is it, Andrew, for quarter number 1 in our news and notes. Stick around in quarter number 2. We get Ross Tucker in and our very special guest, Brandon Short. You want to stay tuned for that.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.